The Drive Time Show on Toledo Sports Leader, 106.5 The Ticket.
Oh, he fumbled the ball. Now he fumbled it in the air, and it's picked up by Michigan State at the 20, the 15, the 10, and he's going to score. No time left. You've got to be kidding me. That you could not write.
This 106.5 The Ticket Sports Exclusive is driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik Jr. at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore.
Here we go. Snap. Spot. Kick on the way. It's no good. It's no good. It's no good. And it's over. The Lions have won it for the first time since 1991. They come to Green Bay and posted improbable victory.
Get ready. It's now drive time.
Feeds it Elliott, who shoots straight ahead and pushes it into the end zone. Ezekiel Elliott on a 9-yard touchdown run. And with just under 13 minutes to play in the fourth quarter, the lead has grown.
Here's the host of Drive Time.
Now Gretzky's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots and scores. Curry blocks the shot. Sent Gretzky in. 3-0 Los Angeles. Wayne Gretzky gets the goal.
Mike Miller is out there watching.
On its way, here's Chris DeMarco to win it. He wins it. DeMarco, 15 feet, 4 inches, Sarah Cup, President's Cup to the United States.
All right, everybody, how are you? Another edition of Drive Time. Glad to have you on board. You're tuned to ESPN, 106.5 The Ticket, home of the Tigers, Lions, Ohio State Buckeyes, and yes, the University of Michigan as well. We're at MIS, Michigan International Speedway, at the in the Irish Hills. Just a great area on a beautiful afternoon. Qualifying continues. Denny Hamlin has the fastest time on the track up to this juncture. David Gericke, Detroit News sports writer for a long time, covers motorsports, and like all writers at this complex today, they've got calls from their editors and the newspapers, of course, tomorrow, especially in this neck of the woods, will be filled with stories on the loss of the great Gordie Howe. Gericke at about 5:20 and had a chance to talk to Michigan native Brad Keselowski. He, of course, races in the Sprint Cup, has been very successful from the Detroit area, by the way, and he started his press conference here today, by the way, acknowledging the passing of the great Gordie Howe. Joining us now, you know, a lot of people are weighing in on the passing of the great number nine, Gordie Howe, Mr. Hockey. And the first person I thought of this morning, not because I wanted a good guest, he's always a good guest, but also wanted to kind of reach out. He was a friend, a close friend of Gordie Howe. His name's Chuck Caton. He's a Hall of Fame broadcaster, now with the Carolina Hurricanes. Started with the Hartford Whalers, and that's when his relationship with the entire Howe family started. Hello, Chuck. How are you?
Good, Mike. How are you today?
Hey, great. Listen, thanks for taking the time. I know a tough day for you, and you and Gordie were close. And listen, I've been saying this all day, and again, a plethora of media here.
Yes? Hello?
For the bandwidth there, Chuck, we're a little bit light on that. I think everybody weighed in on one fact. The greatest player of all time, Gordie Howe, Chuck Caton. Again, I apologize for the bandwidth, a little bit of a power outage here. But not only the greatest player, but very, very rare, maybe a person better than the player.
Absolutely, Mike. I know you've come across him many times yourself, and I was very blessed to come into a Whaler organization that had him as a player at the end of his career. And obviously it was always very special for me because in growing up in Detroit, I watched him play as a youngster, never dreaming I would meet the man and get to know him as I did and share so many wonderful moments in our organization's history, and also in the summers when I would come back and visit my mother and dad in Detroit, especially in the later years where after Gordie had lost his beautiful wife, Colleen, we spent lots of times together over the summers, and I'm going to miss him, I'll tell you. He was one of a kind, just a very special person.
No doubt about it. And you know what I said this today, too, and Chuck, I apologize. We might have some bandwidth issues here, so if you lose me for a minute, tons of media here working off the power here, so bear with me. But I said this today between Gordie Howe and another guy that I've had a chance to meet, Al Kaline, another friend of yours, the late, great Ernie Harwell. Detroit's been blessed with they're superstars, not only in the playing field or on the rink, but in the broadcast booth, again, not only being great players, but great people.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I had what I would call a bucket list lunch once several years ago, Mike, with Ernie Harwell and Gordie Howe. We went to Janopolis, 12-mile in Middle Belt in Detroit area, Farmington Hills, I guess, specifically. And I arranged this luncheon. A good friend of mine here in Raleigh was great friends, in fact, did an audio book with Ernie Harwell and gave me his phone number. And I brashly called him one day, and he lived at 13 Mile and Route 5 there, you know, the connector that comes off in Novi area. And so I called him one day, and his wife answered the phone, and I said, "This is Chuck Caton. I was a longtime admirer of your husband when he was the Tiger broadcaster. Would he be willing to have lunch with me and Gordie Howe?" And she said, "Here, I'll put him on the phone, and you can ask him, but it sounds good to me." And Ernie got on the phone in that bellowing voice, that wonderful voice of his that you know so well, Mike. And he says, "Sure, I'd love to do that." You know, and he would do it. And so we go, and what a freaking day that was. I'm telling you.
Oh, brother.
I'm telling you, Mike, it was a dream come true. I'm so glad we did that. I'm so glad both gentlemen had it in their schedules to be able to meet. And I got news for you. As soon as we walked into the restaurant and we sit down, you can tell the eyes were burning on us. People were looking at us, and they recognized both men. And it took probably about 15 minutes or so for somebody to get up the guts. And it was not an adult. It was actually a kid that was sent over to the table to try to get their autographs as we were having lunch. And they graciously did it. And then once the first kid, I'm sure it was a father who was scared to go up there himself, so he sent his 10-year-old kid to get the autographs. And then everybody started coming over to the table afterwards, and those two men couldn't have been more gracious because, as you know, Mike, when you're in a public setting and you're not on stage and you want some private time with your friends, it can be annoying for people to come up and break that privacy and break, and take up the time. But those two guys were so gracious that it was a wonderful learning lesson as to how to be humble and how to really enjoy your celebrity and embrace it and to be good with people. And both of those guys were.
And you learned it, Chuck. Listen, I know your reputation down in Carolina. Chuck Caton joins us, friend of mine, Hockey Hall of Famer, broadcaster, good friend of the late, great Gordie Howe. Hey, tell me about that 79-80 season, Chuck. He played 80 games, 15 goals, 26 assists, 41. The Detroit Red Wings. Bear with us. A little bandwidth problem there, Chuck. Long run with the Red Wings, of course, the Houston Aeros, the New England Whalers, of course, which eventually became Hartford. What do you remember about that first year in Hartford?
Well, the biggest thing I remember about that year, Mike, was that I met Gordie officially, even though I'd met him as a kid, but, of course, now in a professional setting, I met him at the Bolton Ice Palace, Bolton, Connecticut, at one of the first training camp practices that year. And he couldn't have been any nicer. I remember the first conversation, actually. I said, "I'm from Detroit." He says, "Oh, that's too bad." and he was kidding, of course. And then he gave me a little elbow to the chin. And it was just a terrific start to a relationship. And, for me, I don't think it gets any better for any broadcaster. My first broadcast was an exhibition game against the Pittsburgh Penguins in the Springfield Civic Center. And Gordie Howe was my color man. He wasn't playing that night. In fact, they were trying to get him to retire, actually. There was an untold story there that they said, "Hey, he's sick. He's got some dizzy spells. We don't know if he's going to be cleared to play by the team doctors." Well, that was all hogwash. They were just trying to get him to quit. And they couldn't do it. And that's a sad story in itself. But bottom line, he comes into the season. He works with me the first game, and the rest is history. He has a great 15-goal season. Scores against Detroit the last game of the year at the Hartford Civic Center, scores one goal in the playoffs to end his career in one of the games with the Montreal Canadiens in a very short series. The Whalers lost all three games in that best of five, but Gordie Howe scored. He also scored in Maple Leaf Gardens that year. He also scored a goal in the Montreal Forum in a regular season. So, good year for him and lots of memories for me.
Now, four cups, by the way, for Gordy, second in goals, fourth in points, some MVPs along the way. Again, tremendous, tremendous career. Spent a lot of time in Toledo. I'm going to share a story, too, out at Highland Meadows Golf Course about 2 or 3 years ago. I might have told you this, Chuck, that young assistant professional, about three or four down the list, basically was there early in the morning. Like those guys open the shop and they get out there at, oh, I don't know, 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. He was out and about, whether he was setting pins or with the superintendent, whatever. And there was Murray Howe and Gordy Howe walking a dog, you know, around the golf course. Murray lived pretty close out there. We've had Murray on this show on numerous occasions. And, you know, the young pro, you know, kind of drives up and said, hey, hey, you guys can't have a dog out here on the golf course. And sure enough, the superintendent drives by and grabs the kid, said, you let that guy walk that dog around this golf course anytime you want. That's a Gordy Howe, so a Toledo connection as well. Chuck Caton joins us here. My name's Mike Miller, coming to you from MIS. Tigers, by the way, everybody over on the AM side tonight with a 6:45 pregame show. They take on the New York Yankees. Tell me a little bit about, I mean, listen, this has been debated for years. Where he stands in your eyes, I mean, I know where he stands in mine. There's been a lot of great players. You've seen a ton of them, Chuck, no doubt about that, and I've seen a number of myself. I'm going to guess you got him as the best of all time.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and I'm not biased by any stretch of the imagination, am I? But, you know, when you get to know somebody, as I was lucky enough to with Gordy, and to see him off the ice, I mean, I'm just thinking of a million different things right now. Here, I'm sitting at home right now. My lovely wife is watching television in the next room, and the first thing I'm thinking about right now, and I'm about to cry when I say this, is we had an appearance the year after he retired, and so he came to our house, and we were going up to the Big E Exposition. Now, it's the state fair for New England, and I'll never forget, I told him, you're coming to our house, we'll stop at my place on the way up to Springfield, and my wife made him some beautiful clam chowder, and she's a wonderful cook. And it was made with a heart, and he enjoyed it and loved every minute of it. And then we went on to do the appearance. And that's just the kind of thing you'd want to do for him. She made him apple pie.
No.
And I don't know.
It's a tough day. I got to tell you, you got a lump in your throat there. And I had one this morning, too, and a friend of mine texted me as well and said, listen, I heard this morning, and it brought tears to my eyes, and I can only imagine somebody as close as you were. Hey, I'm going to let you go, but I think one time we talked about this, too, and, I mean, I've been fortunate to be in this business almost 40 years now and love going to the rink to this day. Enjoy it now more than I think I did even back in my days in New Jersey. Love going to the new arena in Windsor and running into hockey people. But you and I were similar. I was a rink rat at Olympia. We're about the same age. And remember Bruce and Bud, who both have been guests on this show, that remember with the rabbit ears watching Channel 50 down in Toledo and watching the great Gordy Howe. In fact, I wore either 9 or 6 in every sport I ever played in because of Gordy and because of Al Kaline. I mean, that's the impact that he had on me and a huge impact with you and a huge impact on a lot of people who passed away today at 88. Chuck, my thoughts are with you. Thanks for coming on. Next time you're in the area, please call. Let's get together. I appreciate you coming on today.
Well, I appreciate that, Mike. And I'll tell you what, he was one of a kind. There'll never be another Gordy Howe. And it's just hard to believe he's gone, but I appreciate talking, and I know that you feel the same way from your background. He touched a lot of us. Thank you, Mike.
No doubt about it. Thanks, Chuck. Good talking to you. I'll talk to you soon.
You've got it. Thank you, Mike. Take care.
That's Chuck Caton, Hall of Fame broadcaster, and you could hear Chuck there. He got emotional. I had a friend of mine text me today and said, hey, it brought a couple of tears to my eye. If you grow up watching Gordy Howe, then had a chance to meet him. I mean, unbelievable, and I did on a couple of occasions, and I mean this wholeheartedly. The greatest player, this is hard to believe, but a better person, Gordy Howe, and we were blessed in Detroit with Kaline and Howe. These are great people. I mean, this is, listen, we all try to be better people as time moves on, and, you know, you try to do the right things. These guys were superstars, and both were so humble between, Kaline, still humble, approachable, and, Detroit's blessed, and the great Gordie Howe, unbelievable. All right, everybody, David Gericke's coming up here from MIS. This is a Drive Time. My name is Mike Miller. It's driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. By the way, qualifying going on here at MIS, Denny Hamlin to this point has had the fastest time. Talk about the new package. They expect better racing here on Sunday, of course, and that'll be in the Michigan International Speedway's Fire Keepers Casino 400. They have been a bust the last couple of times out. No drama, no passing, not a lot of suspense. They tried to correct that. So I was down in the pits today, and I'll pass on some of my observations as well. Back with David Gericke, Detroit News, motorsports writer, hockey guy as well. This is Drive Time, driven by the low-payment king, Ralph Mahalik.
PN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Michigan International Speedway. My name's Mike Miller. This is ESPN 106.5 of The Ticket, home of the Tigers, Lions, Buckeyes, yes, the Wolverines. Tigers on the AM side tonight, 6:45 over on Talk Radio 1470. Pelfrey, the start, of course, for the Detroit Tigers, and getting the start tonight, Sabbath at 4, the New York Yankees. Just had Chuck Caton on, and it was an emotional 4 or 5 minutes, and I'm not dropping names, but Chuck and I have been great friends for a long time. We just kind of both hit it off when Chuck, of course, was the voice of the Hartford Whalers, and I was doing the Devils. He knew I was from the Michigan area, the Toledo area, and we've shared a lot of laughs and even a couple lumps in the throats over the years, and certainly had one today from Chuck. You could tell he was emotional again. The great Gordie Howe passing away today. By the way, in Toledo at the age of 88, we had his son, Dr. Murray Howe, on the show on numerous occasions. Again, we do two shows every year from Michigan International Speedway, where qualifying took place here today. I believe Denny Hamlin got the pole, but it's become an annual event, and I enjoy it every year, and I enjoy it every time I see him. David Gericke joins us from the Detroit News. He's a motorsports writer, among other things, and I'm sure like everybody else, somehow. I had to apologize here a little bit to our listeners, too. There's so many people covering this. There's a little suction on the bandwidth here, so we might cut out every now and then. First things first, before, I'd be remiss before we talk about the race coming up on Sunday, the Firekeepers Casino 400 qualifying today, the new package. I spent a lot of time down in the garage today with guys with tape measures and showing me a lot of different things. It was very, very interesting. But you're a Michigander. You and I, we talk about this every time, go all the way back to Kalamazoo. Uh-huh. A lot of bad news out of Kalamazoo as of late. One thing after another. It breaks my heart. But any anecdotes or thoughts on the Gordie Howe's passing?
Well, yeah, they had the Cold War, of course, at Spartan Stadium in 2001. And, of course, that really started these outdoor games. And he was the gentleman that dropped the first puck and everything like that. And then between periods, he would come up and he talked. And he talked about his growing up days and how his mother took care of some people, you know, with house cleaning. And she would get some skates. And, of course, they would be way too big for him. So he would stuff a bunch of, you know, socks in there to make them nice and tight. And then he would go down the pond and he would skate all the way to the lake and play hockey all night. And that's, of course, how he got his start.
Floral, Saskatchewan, Gordie Howe. Chuck and I were talking about this, and I've been fortunate. And it always has seemed to me, you, Dave Gericke, you enjoy what you do, even with deadlines and editors and everything else. But Chuck and I were just talking about this, that Bruce Martin and Bud Lynch down in Toledo, I had the rabbit ears, the tin foil on top of the antennas. Channel 50 in Detroit, by the way, used to, you know, carry the Detroit Red Wings, and that's how I got hooked. And then on Saturday night, we'd watch Hockey Night in Canada with the great Foster Hewitt, and lo and behold, you end up doing almost 1,000 NHL games. So that's how I got started. Chuck got started. We were rink rats at the old Olympia Stadium, yeah. You know, watching Gordie and Roger Crozier and Alex Delvecchio and that whole crew. Just a sad day in sports, and anybody, listen, I thought Brad Keselowski, of course, when he mm-hmm. addressed the media here today, he took a couple of moments to address and to give his condolences to Gordie as well.
And that was really good, and I talked to Red Berenson earlier today, and that was quite interesting because he got traded from the Blues to the Red Wings in 70-71, which was Gordie's last year with the Red Wings, so he had a chance to play with them. and against him. And he was just so amazed on how he could switch and actually shoot left-handed and score goals, even though he was right-handed. And he just said that he was mean tough. They didn't mess with weights back then, but he was just physically big just because that's how he was, naturally. And he talked about, a matter of fact, when he first started as Michigan's coach, he was recruiting a kid from Western Canada, and they met at the Toronto airport. And what happened right before they were, you know, going to get onto their flight in a couple of hours, they ran right into Gordy. And Gordy said, "Let's go into the lounge. I have a ticket." And they talked for 2 hours, and it was Miles O'Connor. And that's who they ended up, you know, going to the Michigan Wolverines, and he was the first team All-American defenseman.
And Miles is probably thinking, the Reds set this up. You had Gordy out in the exactly, airport for crying out loud.
Pretty good, huh?
Yeah, not bad. David Gericke joins us here at Michigan International Speedway. My name is Mike Miller. By the way, NBA playoff game pregame show tonight is at 8 o'clock here on the ticket. Tigers pregame show against the Yankees is at 6:45 tonight. Sabatha against Pelfrey in that one as well. Hey, well, I spent a little time in the garage today, Mr. Gericke. This is your expertise, not mine, but I talked to a lot of folks, and I, for the first time, watched the cars go through the templates and so on and so forth, talked about the new spoilers in the front and the back. I ran into Roger Curtis last year after the race, another frequent guest of this show. He was just shaking his head, basically, about what a boring race it was last year.
Yeah, what it was supposed to do with the drag. Yeah.
So they've made these changes. Mm-hmm. Going into this, tell me about it a little bit, what's your thoughts?
Supposedly, the lesser downforce is supposed to make the cars be able to catch up with each other and then pass each other. But the thing is, the cars now get loose into the corners, so they're tougher to handle, making things really interesting. But, of course, the racing is better. And it's interesting because before qualifying, the majority of the cars, or at least probably, you know, a third or maybe a half, failed spec because of these new rules. So they had to delay it 15 minutes, so they're still sorting things out.
Was interesting down there today. And in fact, a couple of guys, correct me if I'm wrong here, one was Carl Edwards.
Well, I know that
Martin
Truex Jr. failed three times.
Right.
But then he's in the top 12, and he's second right now.
Behind,
so it's amazing.
Joey Logano.
Yeah, so I guess Truex found, you know, whatever he was looking for, and here he is still having a chance for the pole with, what, a minute to go?
Yeah, no question about it. David Gericke joins us, our annual chat here from Michigan International Speedway. Had a chance to talk to Brad Keselowski. We'll have him on via recorded interview here in just a couple of moments as well. And Jim Wise will join us. He is the Vice President of Marketing for Firekeepers Casino. He'll be on the last couple of moments of the show as well. NASCAR as a whole, David Gericke, where's it at? Listen, I mean, I remember coming up here for qualifying. Now, this was years ago when the infield was packed, the stands were packed. I was out there up top today above the Roush thing watching a little bit of the qualifying before I made it into our broadcast location here. Not a lot of folks here on a beautiful day.
No, they're struggling, and the problem is this year, it used to always be over Father's Day. So it got pushed up a week. And, of course, off the racing last year where they had a rain-shortened race in June and then the boring race, as we call it, in August. So between all those things, it's kind of taken a hit. They're trying with this Calora thing of bringing in the millennials. But, you know, Roger Curtis is always trying, and that's a big thing. But, yeah. It's a challenge.
No, it is a challenge. He did the best thing. I mean, I'm sure the attendance has a lot to do with this. You can get in and out of this place. I remember years ago,
yeah,
it was just a battle.
And that's because there used to be 130,000 to 150,000 compared to, you know, 75, 80. And I think if they got 75 or 80 on Sunday, he'd be thrilled, Roger would.
Who do you like this Sunday? Anybody that stands out?
Well, you know what? I tell you what, Martin Truex, I mean, he's, you know, he dominated at Charlotte. He looks really good. Brad, I mean, but with this new rule package, it throws a loop, so, you know, it's anybody's guess, but Yeah.
I was asking a couple of the guys, underlings, and I said, nobody's quoting you here. I know who you work for, so please don't think I'm going to hold anybody. You know, this was a guy basically pushing, one of the eight guys pushing a car into the garage, and I'd kind of get up next to one and have him explain the spoilers in the back, mm-hmm. now which is down to 2.5 inches. And, mm-hmm. of course, the front, there's some adjustments there to basically initiate what you had just talked about anyways. And I asked four guys, is there a particular driver that this might be an advantage to? And I thought a pretty good percentage. Two of the four said the number 22, the guy on our screen, our monitor right now, Joey Logano, because he can handle a car. Do you mm-hmm. buy any of that?
Well, the same thing with Keselowski. He can, too. So I guess both of those Penske drivers. That's interesting, and it's definitely something to keep an eye on come Sunday.
Did I miss anything or anything you want to share? I always ask you this, and you usually come up with something I missed about this race.
No, I mean, it's just going to be very, very fun to watch because I think they're going to get what they want, which is more passing, and things are going to get interesting. But we're going to see more wrecks, I believe, than, you know, in past years just because these cars are going to get loose.
No, it was a mess. I was here for the August race. There was rain, too. It just was a miserable day. Good seeing you, Dave.
Nice seeing you, too.
Always a pleasure. That's David Gurecki, Detroit News sports writer, motorsports, and much more. All-around good guy, and even touched in with a good Red Berenson story here today when talking about the passing of Gordie Howe. TAS Electronics update coming up. A little bit of sports, a little bit of weather, some traffic as well, brought to you by SuperFitnessToledo.com. June Fantastic Jubilee continues at the Monroe Superstore. Low Payment King has a lot of great deals out there. Visit the MonroeSuperstore.com. How about this one? 2000, boy, what a vehicle when you're doing a show from MIS. A 2016 Dodge Challenger SXT. $138 a month, 36-month lease for that one as well. Hey, speaking of racing, by the way, this Friday night, tonight, out at Toledo Speedway, it's the fastest short track show in the world. All-American Coach, Super Fitness, Hemelgarn Racing sponsors. That's the Super Modified tonight out at Toledo Speedway. Race time is 7:30, time trials at 5:30. Then tomorrow night, everybody up at Flat Rock, the late models go at it. Racing starts at 7 o'clock. Update sports, update weather, traffic right around the corner, brought to you by TAS Electronics. My name's Mike Miller, back with Brad Keselowski, the number two car, Miller Lite, after this.
The cure for annoying traffic jams. It's the Drive Time Show on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's your host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
Welcome back, everybody, to MIS. First things first, special thanks to Chuck Caton, longtime voice of the Carolina Hurricanes and a Detroiter. We talked Gordie Howe in the first part of this show tonight, and a gentleman that paid homage to the great number nine, Gordie Howe, in his press conference here today at MIS. Another local guy, a Detroiter, Brad Keselowski, joins us. Brad.
Detroit community is, I think, second to none.
You know, when you talk of Gordie Howe, I think throughout this show tonight, before we've played this interview, people talk about Gordie Howe, the man, maybe the greatest player that ever played, but maybe even a better human being. And I guess that leads to my next question. Did you ever have a chance to meet the great number nine?
I never met Gordie Howe, but he, from what I understand, lived in very close to where I grew up in Rochester Hills. And a few people I knew had met and spent time with him and had just raving things to say. And so, I think that certainly left a very strong impression on me.
You know, my parents owned a tavern in Toledo, Ohio for 36 years, not far from Benora Road, and a track there, the Toledo Speedway, that I know you have a lot of history with, and your dad did as well. Can you touch on that a moment?
Yeah, Toledo Speedway is, you know, what I would consider one of my home tracks growing up, and I can remember going there as a little kid to watch my dad race, and then when I started racing there, and gosh, I just love that area. I love that track. It's one of the best short tracks in all of America, and puts on some excellent racing. So, maybe one day when I get long past my career, I'll get to come back and race there a little bit, and long past my career at the Sprint Cup level. But I do enjoy going up there every once in a while watching some races, too.
Yeah, I had a little spin with Kenny Schrader about 2 weeks ago, my first time ever in a car. It was kind of neat. Tell me about the new package here at MIS. Listen, I ran into Roger Curtis last year after the second race, and he was shaking his head like everybody else. And great racing area, your home track. Not a lot of drama, not a lot of suspense in the last couple of races. Tell me going into this weekend if you feel that'll change.
I feel like this is the antithesis of the rules package we ran last season, and I think it's going to be a great race. It's much different than anything we've seen here before, and I think better. So really excited about it personally. Of course, we got a really fast car like we have here every year, and I think we have a great opportunity to win. But from a fan perspective, this is going to be a race that I would not want to miss here at Michigan International Speedway.
Brad, if you're successful on Sunday, tell me the things you would have done right.
Everything. You got to do everything right to be successful here at the Sprint Cup level at Michigan International Speedway. You got to have a great car. You had a great pit stops. Drivers got to be flawless, specifically on the restarts and moving around as the track changes grip levels and the tires and car starts to degrade. So there's just so much you have to do right, and you can't do anything wrong and expect to win.
You know, you're sitting out here in a lobby area. I know you just did an interview and, of course, talking to some Ford people as well and was having a chat, very relaxed. I give you credit for coming out here and letting guys, local guys like myself, come up and bother you a little bit. So that's a big part of this. Do you think that's because you're home? You seem relaxed. I've never met you before, but tell me about coming home to Michigan.
I feel good. I like coming here. I've got the chance to spend a little bit of time with friends and family when we're around here, and enjoy that very much. Of course, I want to win this close to home and make it count. And there's a lot of pressure to do so, but I'm going to enjoy it as well.
Brad, thanks a lot for taking the time. Appreciate it. And from everybody in Toledo and the ESPN land and the surrounding area, good luck this weekend.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
That's Brad Keselowski here at Michigan International Speedway. Back with more. This is Drive Time, and it's driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. Again, everybody, pregame show, NBA tonight at Cleveland. Again, the Cavaliers and the Warriors go at it. Tip-off is at 9 o'clock tonight. Golden State, of course, leads that series 2-1. Big comeback, a win for Cleveland. Be an interesting game tonight. San Jose, by the way, stays alive in the Stanley Cup Finals. Their next game is Sunday. Of course, they add another day in there because travel all the way back to the West Coast. Of course, the Penguins lead that series 3-2. Tigers tonight. York City. Again, everybody, this is Drive Time. Back to close it out after this timeout.
106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
Representing all of hockey with great distinction for 5 decades, number 9.
Now coming up on the right side. Now over the line to his father. Son to father. Back in time.
I'll tell you what, Danny, so do I. It's just a pleasure to see this big guy out there. Big Father Time still doing his thing out here, and they're going to give him a standing ovation here in the Montreal Forum.
He was the one guy without a weakness. He had wonderful shots, front hand, back hand. He was ambidextrous, so could shoot from both sides. He was big. He was tough. He was a wonderful skater. He had maximum anticipation. Gordy, in his whole career, never wasted a step. He could figure out where the puck was going, and he'd go there in the shortest distance.
He could kill penalty, pay the plow play, regular shift. He used to carry the puck smooth. You know, very dangerous. He could shoot the puck. Strong player.
He could do everything on the ice, and he was so big and strong that you feared him when he was out there. And he could put the puck in the net. He could make the plays. He was the all-around ultimate hockey player.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Michigan International Speedway, and thanks, Jim, for that montage of folks talking about the great Gordie Howe, who passed away today. Our engineer, Jim Cushlin, back at the studio, put that together. A way to go, Jim, good job there. In fact, at 5:05 today, we were joined by Chuck Caton, a Detroit native, longtime broadcaster in the NHL, Hartford Whalers. Broadcast Gordy's last NHL season for Hartford. Chuck still does Carolina. Also talked to Brad Keselowski a little bit ago. And Dave